I think it was 3 weeks ago, I preached a message from Mark chapter 6, how Jesus instructed his disciples to come apart and rest. And you'll remember, as we considered that, Jesus, they left in the boat, and when they got where they were going, there were all kinds of people that were already there, waiting for them. And so as we read this, which is the feeding of the 5,000, you'll recognize it. But as we realized then, it was the Lord's compassion that caused him to minister to the people. Well, we want to take a look again at this account of the feeding of the 5,000. Now, that's 5,000 men. There are women and children there also. So people have estimated could be 15,000 people that were there. That's a tremendous crowd. This occurs, or is listed, or is recorded, in all four of the Gospels. It's an extremely important event. So in Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 34, and we read these words, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for we have nothing to eat.' But he answered and said to them, 'You give them something to eat.' They said to him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread?'" Now, a denarii was basically one day's wages. So 200 days worth of wages, "and give them something to eat. But he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' Well, when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them to make them sit down in groups on the green grass. They sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men." 5,000 men, plus the women and children, that had been there all day, and they were all filled. If we look at this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, he asked the disciples to do it. They said, "How in the world are we going to do it? This is impossible." We also can end up in situations where we think that what the Lord instructs us to do is just impossible. We don't have the skill set. We don't have the resources. We don't have whatever. And we just say, how can we accomplish our ministry, what the Lord has called us to do? So we want to look at 3 items this morning will help us in understanding how we can accomplish our ministry. The first one is compassion. We've already noted that before, that when Jesus saw the need, he was moved with compassion. There were all these people. They wanted to hear from him. They were looking to him for direction and for guidance. He saw them and he realized that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, we were not shepherds, so we don't have sheep. How many of you have ever raised sheep? Not me. Okay, Jerry. Well, then Jerry could help us to understand. Well, sheep need shepherds. They need direction. They need someone who will look after them. And here were people. The greatest need that these people had was a spiritual need. They were managing their lives, I'm assuming, okay, but he was teaching them spiritual truth, and they wanted to hear it. They had a great need. And he saw that the time was right now. Now, as we saw before, this was supposed to be a break. His disciples were tired from having been involved in ministry and preaching and the different things that they, when they'd been sent out two by two, and he realized they needed a break. This wasn't a break. 5,000 men, people crowding in. And he saw this was the time. He could have sent them away. He did send them away later. But he could have sent them away then, said, well, you all go back home. There'll be another time. But he realized this was the time, right now. Something needed to be done now. You know, the day went on, and he spent that time in ministry. And wouldn't you like to have had a time machine to go back and be a part of that? I would. I have lots of questions about how that all worked and how people handled that and so on. But they may have gotten out their lunches that they brought along and ate them for lunch, and the day continued on, and Jesus was teaching, and they were learning, and they were encouraged, and more people probably were showing up as the day went on. And then he realized, the disciples came to him and said, it's been all day long. These people are now hungry. And Jesus recognized the physical need that they had as well as the spiritual need. And he also recognized this was the time to feed them. How is that going to happen? Jesus saw the method. He would use his disciples. You know, this speaks to us as well. We need to recognize the need that is around us. People are able generally to handle their lives okay as far as from the physical standpoint, although there are certainly those times when we need to step in and provide assistance, and we're thankful that we've been able to do that. And I know you have individually and so on, but our greatest need that is around us today is a spiritual need. A people who are lost, and lost in the area that matters for eternity. The devil would like for us to believe that everybody is fine, no need, but we need to ask the Lord to speak to our hearts to help us to recognize the spiritual need of the people who are around us, and the time is now. Jesus said later, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray for workers. In our day, there are people who are desirous of the things of God and of spiritual direction. How do you know that? You've heard of the Asbury Revival. My understanding is that last Sunday, some 20 to 25,000 people came into the town of Wilmore. It became so crowded that the police closed the road, is my understanding. Happened. Apparently there's a back way in and out, but they were afraid for emergency vehicles couldn't get through because of the traffic jam and so on. There wasn't any parking available, and there wasn't any place in the sanctuary. It only holds 1,500, and there are thousands of people showing up. Why were those people coming? Now, it's been happening for days. I realize they've closed it down. They're now having a revival service at Rupp Arena beginning this afternoon and running through this evening. And we pray that that all goes well and that God is glorified. Why are all these people coming? Because there is a spiritual hunger and a spiritual need. And it is in our day as well. The time is us. What's the method? The method is us. That means you and I. The Lord wants to use you and I. And so we've seen the compassion. The second item we notice is the command. Jesus said to them, the disciples came to Jesus and said, look, this is it's getting late, and we, you know, these people are hungry, and something needs to be done. It's going to get dark. They're going to have to get home. They got to find something to eat. And Jesus said, you give them to eat. Physically, he commanded the disciples. Now, how are they going to do that? There's 5,000 men, women, and children. Let's see. If we were to go to McDonald's and buy a Big Mac meal for everybody, how much would that cost? And can you imagine them trying to turn out the meals for that? That would just be something else. We're talking thousands and thousands of dollars here. And here with the ministry of Jesus, I don't know that they had that kind of money in the treasury, but the point was, there's not a place around here that we can go buy that much food and bring it back. And how would we transport that anyway? There's all kinds of practical questions that they had. But Jesus had told them, you need to feed them. How are they going to do that? And we think of the same thing today. How are they going to do that? They couldn't do it. Today we are given the same understanding that not only do people have physical needs, but they have spiritual needs, and the Lord is instructing us. We are the answer to their spiritual diet and what they need to know around us. I know that I have been praying, and we've been praying on Wednesday nights, and I know that you've been praying as well, that sense of revival that began in Wilmore would spread to Breathitt County. And we're asking that the Lord will work in our churches and in our lives and in our community. We want to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That will have to happen through us. You say, well, how can that be? What can we do? And it brings me to the third item, and that is the completion. We see the compassion that Jesus has, then the command that he gave, and now the completion. Ask him, what do you have? Go find out. Check around. And they come back and they say, we've found 5 loaves of bread. Now, 5 loaves of bread, 5,000 men. Okay, so men eat a lot. 5 loaves of bread, 5,000 men. They get 1/1,000th of a loaf. I think if you let them take a bite, they'd get more than that. Going to break off little bitty pieces and feed these people? What is this? But I think there's a second question that's implicit in this. Not only what do you have, but will you give it to me? Now we know that this lunch belonged to the boy, and we don't have a lot of details about how all that happened, but we have to assume that he was willing to give it to Jesus, to allow Jesus to have it. Did you know that boys get hungry too? And there goes his food, willing to give it to Jesus, and he was. What do you have available, and will you give it to me? And then we know that Jesus worked a miracle. Amen. He took them as they were, with what they had. Used it only after it was given to him, so it now could be used by him. Then he used his disciples. Organize them. Seat them by groups of hundreds and fifties. Now there are 12 disciples. 5,000 men. Does this seem overwhelming to you? I know you know the end of the story, and it makes it, you know, 12 men going to organize 5,000 men and the women and children. Have you ever wondered how long that took? Now we know the happened, but did those people know? Did they believe that Jesus was going to provide for them? Did they know that Jesus was going to multiply the bread and the fishes and it would be enough food to feed all of them? Like I said, I'd like to have a time machine so I could go back and see what really happened. How do you organize that many people? Likely similar to the population of Breathitt County. How do you get them into groups and organized? But they did. And I believe it was because the Lord enabled it to happen. Amen. And the Bible says that he took the bread, the fish, looking up to heaven, gave thanks, and began to break the bread. Now, how did that happen? The Bible doesn't tell us. So I don't know. Oh, we've seen different things of how that could have happened and so on. But here there was. They were passing out all this food and coming back and getting more and distributing it and just continued on and continued on until not only was everyone fed, but there were 12 basketfuls left over. That means that there wasn't anybody that went away hungry. Unless they, for some reason, decided to. There was plenty to meet the need for everyone. And Jesus provided an overabundance in that as well. Amen. This is, it's an amazing miracle. We've heard it since we were little in many cases, and we've heard it many times, and so we know the end from the beginning, and so we can kind of miss it, but just imagine if you had been there. What would you have thought was going to happen? Would I have had faith that Jesus would keep multiplying the bread? I don't know how the bread was distributed, but let's just suppose for a moment that it was given to the people who were in the front first. Now, if you were in the back of the crowd, you would have had a hard time knowing what was going on anyway. You wouldn't have even been able to see the disciples bring the 5 loaves to Jesus. You would probably not be able to see what Jesus was doing. You were told to sit down in groups of 50 and 100, and you're clear at the back, and then you recognize that there are people over here that are eating, and the people over here that are eating, and am I going to get to eat? That's why I'd like a time machine to go back and see how that all transpired. It's an amazing miracle of God's provision. Because he asked them, "What do you have? And will you give it to me? Will you let me use it?" You know, I believe that Jesus asks us the same questions. What do you have? Well, you can say, well, you know what? We can tell you, Lord, what we don't have. We don't have very much. But he asks, not what we don't have, but what we do have. And then, the unwritten question, here in this text anyway, will you give it to Jesus? I've been preaching the last few Sundays about consecration, about taking what we do have and giving it to Jesus and allowing him to use not just the things that we have, the physical things we have, but also the other things that we have, our jobs, our talents, our minds, our lives. What do you have? And will you give it to Jesus? I know the tendency is to think so much, to think that what we don't have, but what do you have? Jesus doesn't ask you to give what you don't have. He asks you to give what you do have. Too many people think that they got to get things ready. They're not ready yet. They need to get things ready so they can serve the Lord. You know, the Lord wants us to serve Him now. The time is now. He wants us to give what we have and what is available to us now. And what will He do with it? Miracles. You say, oh, would the Lord multiply bread like He did then? The Lord could. We need to give to Him that which we have. Allow Him to have it and use it and to work miracles. Our money, our books, our cars, our tractor, our ground, our houses, our clothes, our tools, our skills, our attitudes, our elbows, our knees, our feet, our brains, our waists, everything. And allow Him to use it. And then let Him work a miracle. Now, one thing I noticed about the miracle, the disciples did not tell Jesus what to do. They didn't say, you know, Jesus, if you would pray about this and then break off pieces of bread, it would multiply. They didn't tell Jesus how to work the miracle. They gave Him what they had and allowed Him to work the miracle. Does He always do things the way that we want Him to do them? No, not at all. Let me just tell you the story of Kevin and his wife. The Lord called him to become a missionary, so he knew he needed to train. He went to a school, and they had to find a place to live. And what they found was an apartment. The apartment was small, but his wife said, well, at least don't have as much to clean. The only thing was, the apartment didn't have running water. They were on the third floor, and the water was downstairs. And so was the washing machine and the dryer downstairs. They had two small children, but that meant they had to go downstairs and bring water up. They had to go downstairs, do laundry. And she writes, we're adjusting to climbing three flights of stairs. We live on the third floor, and the washing machines and drinking water is all on the ground floor, so it's a lot of up and down the stairs for us. We should be in great shape by the end of our 2 years here when they finished schooling. Why would someone put up with that? Because they gave their lives to Jesus. They became missionaries, served in Brazil, still are serving in Brazil, still living for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has taken care of their family, and they are continuing to walk with the Lord. They gave Him what they had, and the Lord used it. The Lord is able to take what we give to Him and magnify it and multiply it, and has been doing that through His church for 2,000 years. The church has continued to spread around the world. There are more Christians now than there ever have been before in history. But the population has grown also. And there are more today who have never heard of Jesus than ever before in history. We need to make ourselves available to be used by the Lord. That's true for us individually, true for us as a church. And I'm thankful for the leadership of the church that has said that consistently. We want to be a church that gives, a church that's invested in God's kingdom business. And we're thankful to have that opportunity. And the ways of the Lord has blessed and helped this church to do that. And it's amazing. What do we need? take what we have and give it to the Lord. And I want to ask you this question this morning. Have you done that? Have you given every part of your life, all that you have, to King Jesus for Him to use?